One of the ways we know is through His Word. His Word teaches us a lot of things, but it teaches us about God. And it teaches us, gives us a window into the invisible, into heaven and God and other things. Now, we're limited. Even John, in writing the book of Revelation, had a hard time finding human words to explain. And we are still limited because we haven't seen God face to face. But the Bible gives us truth so we can know. And one of the things we want to talk about tonight is that Jesus is at the right hand of God. Jesus at the right hand of God. Two theologians way back in the 1500s debated, was that literal or not? Was it symbolism? I don't know. I think Jesus is at the right hand of God. But at the same time, because He's at the right hand of God, it teaches us some things. And so we want to look tonight at what does that mean? What is Jesus actually doing, and what is His position, and what's His place? One, it is a sign of honor. Philippians 2 says, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him, and giving Him a name which is above every name." Now, of course, Jesus is God, but in Philippians 2, He gave up His rights to exercise His power as God and came and became a man and went to the cross and died for a sin and now has ascended back to heaven. And that's why He's given the position of honor and glory and praise. That's why we honor the Lord Jesus Christ for what He has accomplished in our behalf. Secondly, it is a sign of authority. 1 Peter 3 says, "Who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject to Him." The angels, authorities, powers, also demonic. I don't know what's going on out there. I don't know anything that's going on. I just know that Jesus is now in a position of authority. And He's over all and controls all and is in control of everything. You and I look at it from our human point of view, and we don't know what's going on, but you need to remember, because Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, He has authority. He's over all. Third thing is, it's a sign of rest. The work of salvation is finished. Hebrews says, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God." Jesus sitting at the right hand of God means it's finished. Salvation is complete. It's done. It doesn't have to be repeated. It doesn't have to be accomplished again. Jesus Christ left heaven. He came to earth. He died on the cross. He's ascended back to the Father. He's seated at the right hand of the Father as a sign, as showing that it is finished. He has sat down. And thus we are secure. We are secure in Christ because He is now seated and the work is finished. There's not something else that He has to do. Jesus doesn't have to die again. The Holy Spirit, of course, is at work in us, but the whole point of salvation is finished. He's rested from that work. And He's now seated at the right hand of Father. And so you and I can take comfort because of His position and where He is. We are secure. And all is well with God. Fourth thing, He is drawn to make us acceptable to God. Hebrews 9 says, "For Christ is not entered into holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us." Part of seated at the right hand of God, and I've mentioned it many times, as His atoning death, His perfect life, He's now entered into heaven. And the seating at the right hand of God means that now it is through Him that we are acceptable to God. We come to pray to the Father through the Son. We acknowledge that our entrance into the presence of God is not based on anything we have done or will ever do or how good we're doing or how bad we're doing. It is simply the Lord Jesus Christ who's now made us acceptable in the eyes of the Father. So he's entered into heaven in the presence of God for us. And once again, we are secure. Now, if you don't take the time to, by faith, realize whatever it all means, whatever Jesus is literally doing, to realize the truth behind it, then your heart will lack the encouragement that it needs. We are encouraged by not the visible things we see, but the Bible tells us what is. The Son is seated at the right hand of the Father, and we are now acceptable to the Lord. He is head over his body, the church, he says in Ephesians 1, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in the world, but in this world, but in the world to come. And he hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now you may think that I run the church, or the deacons run the church, or maybe somebody you know runs the church. But that is not the way it is in the heavenlies. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. And Jesus Christ, of course, works through us. And our number we here have tonight and the kids we have in the back, you may think, well, we just showed up and, oh, I don't know, well, the food was good. We enjoyed that. Might have been good tonight, might not have been good tonight, but you know who's in heaven looking down on us? Christ. He's head of this church. And he loves this church. And he has now put all things under his feet, and he's given him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. He's now ascended back to the Father, seated at the right hand. He's head of the church, and we are members of that church, and he is now working through us within the body. He leads me in preaching. He teaches the Sunday school teachers. He leads the people who work on committees. He leads you and works with you to encourage and to do the things with one another. But he's the head, and he's the one working in each of our lives. Now, if you just think the only thing that's going on is what you see, then you don't see the church the way God sees the church. Christ loves his church. Now, whether there's two of us here tonight or 100 here tonight, it doesn't make any difference. Christ is the head of it, and he loves it. And whatever he's doing, see at the right hand of the Father, he loves his church. He's the head of it, and he's in charge of it. There's some other truths that go with that, that Jesus is head of the church. He formed the body of Christ by sending the Spirit. Bible says in Acts 2, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed for this which you now see and hear. Jesus Christ now ascended back to the Father, seated at the right hand of the Father, and the Holy Spirit was given by Christ to indwell believers and to form his church, the body. There's a church here, there's a church there, there's a church there, there's a church there, there's a church there, there's a church across Georgia, there's a across America, there's churches all over the world that you and I don't know nothing about, and Jesus Christ is the head of it, and he's the one who gave the Holy Spirit to cause it to come into being. I didn't do it. It's not by my strength, but it's by Christ giving the Holy Spirit to form his church. He cares for his body by sanctifying it and making the church mature. You know, one of the things that probably, of all the things that could discourage me, is that people do not love the church. Now, many of you do, and I'm very, very thankful for it. And I hear a lot of people say, well, man, you ain't got to be in church to be right with God. I beg to differ. I beg to differ. Because the Lord loves his church. This is his body. This is his place. And he wants to work within his place to mature each one. Notice what the verse says. He says, husband, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. The husband and wife relationship was designed to mirror Christ and his relationship to his church. And how does he wash us and get us clean? By the word. By the washing of water by the word. And who does that? Notice what it says. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. You may not know what's going on tonight. You may think, well, we're not having service. You know, preacher, he'll either go too long or go too short. We'll be here. I like it or don't like it. But you don't realize what Christ is doing in heaven. This is his bride. This is his family. And he uses me as an instrument, but I'm not the only instrument. You're encouraging words to one another. You're pat on the back to one another. Your love for one another. And through the word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses and matures and grows up his body. Because the church is his body. So he's gathered in heaven, ready for us to meet, having led me to study, having led me to say something, and hopefully the only authority I have is that which comes from the word, not anything I say, so that he himself through me and you may mature and cleanse up the church. Sometimes when I get up, I don't know if you have this problem, but sometimes when I get up out of a chair, if I've sat too long, I kind of have to go, the back ain't functioning like it used to. Well, sometimes people in the church are not functioning like they should. And sometimes Boston Baptist Church and maybe other churches have to limp along, but somebody that's supposed to be in charge of the right leg ain't doing nothing. So the right leg just kind of limps along. And then maybe somebody who's a left hand just said, well, I'm not going to do nothing. And so the left hand is not able to function. And so the body's not able to function like it should. But make no mistake about it. It will function. Because Christ is the head of it, and he loves it, and he will sanctify it. And he will cleanse it, and he will make it mature. I love a picture, and I've told you before, that's in our living room. And it's the preacher standing at the pulpit, and it has different individuals, some of them Old Testament characters, and each one is laying the hand on my back, and another one's laying the hand on another, and it goes all the way back to the Lord. And he's the one that works through it all. You say, some people say, I don't like Boston Baptist Church. That's good. Well, then find one you like. Don't badmouth every church that you come along with, because that's the bride of Christ and that's the body of Christ. If you don't like this one, go to another one. Well, I don't like this and I'll stay here. Well, okay, but you ought to work on your attitude. And say, you know what? Christ is the right hand of the Father, and he's trying to mature and grow the church. He's trying to get it going, prop it up, make them mature. And do not think he doesn't do it either. He says, why? That he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. You know why I love the church? Because Christ loves the church. Now, did Jesus come down here and tell me that? No. I've read it in the Word. I know it gives me insight into the invisible realm. What is Christ doing? Well, I don't know all he's doing, but I do know one thing. He's nurturing his church, and he loves his church. Plus, you folks never got the chance to sit under Dr. Harold Chet. If there was anybody that ingrained it in me to love the church, it was Christ. Is it perfect? No. But he wants to present it without spot, without wrinkle, so he can present it wholly unto himself. Bible says Christ nourishes and cherishes his church. Says in Ephesians 5:29, "For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord does with the church." To nourish means to feed it, take care of it. Now, I don't know what you did today, but I ate breakfast and I ate lunch. We had a good supper. I nourished myself. And I made sure that today I took my once a week bath. I got all cleaned up, you know, and I put my deodorant on and I brushed my teeth. In other words, I nourished myself. I took care of myself. I made sure that everything was okay. You do the same thing. The point that he's making in reference to the husband to the wife is the husband ought to nourish and care for his wife, because no one would despise his own flesh. You take care of your own body. You don't mean fallen, that's your body. So you ought to nourish it and to cherish it. Cherish just, isn't that a wonderful word? Just something that's precious. You cherish it. Well, what do I know about Christ and the church? It says right here, he nourishes it and he cherishes it, even as the Lord does the church. That meaning the Lord does the church. He nourishes it and he cherishes it. You know, when eternity comes, you know who he's going to take home? He ain't going to take home the people down at the bar. He ain't going to take home the people that don't care for God, make fun of God, and blast the church and hate the church. You know who's going to take home to heaven? The church. Now, not everybody who's members of this church is part of the one true church. But there are many who are part of the one true church, and he's nourishing, he's cherishing up, trying to make it look fine and wonderful, so that one day when it's time, he'll just bring it home. And we'll go home to be with the Lord. Not only that, he is preparing a place in heaven for his church. Says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Now, he's not just doing that for anybody. He's doing it for his church. Now, preparing it, I don't know what he's doing. I'm not, you know, heaven's perfect, so I'm not sure that he's out there cleaning the floors or anything like that. But whatever he's doing, he's said he's preparing it. When we had our first child, you know, we went home and we got the nursery all ready. Went shopping and found just the right crib and just the right thing. And we went and made a little nursery. Why? We were preparing it, getting ready to bring home a new child. And the next one, and the next one, and the next one. Well, that's what Jesus is doing. He's in heaven, see the right hand of the Father. He's working in his church, but he's also preparing heaven. I don't know what that means he's doing, but he's preparing heaven. Because when it's time, you know what will happen? The Lord will say, "It's time." And I love the song, "Go Get Your Children." And when you know the song, he said, when he steps out of heaven and says, "Go get your children." And he's doing that. And he knows exactly when. I mean, I may die and get to go on to heaven before it ever happens. But I'll know all the hustle and bustle that's going up there. We're getting ready. Because he's working in his church. He's getting it ready so that one day he can take it home. Now, you can look around this building. You might could find a few cobwebs. Or you might find a light fixture out. Or you could look around at some people in the church and go, you know, I really don't care for so-and-so too much. I love them, but And you could find all sorts of things in the church. Or you could say, you know, I like this church because I was sick, they all called me. What are you going to do if they don't call you when you say? You know, I mean, is that the only reason? Or can your mind by faith grab the truth of Scripture and by faith look into the invisible realm and see Christ nourishing and cherishing his church. And thus you can say this simple prayer: Lord, help me to love my little church the way you do. And help me to be of service to my church because you are. You see, you can look with your physical eyes and you'll see all kinds of stuff. But the Bible was given to let us see by faith what we cannot see. I don't know what all Christ's doing, but I know he loves his church. He's seated right in the Father. I know he's making me acceptable every time I come to pray. Father says, come on in. The Son is seated here. Come on in. Let's pray. What do you need? What do you want? Worship me. Confess your sins. But seated at the right hand, the Son will make you acceptable to me forever and ever and ever and ever. You see, the Bible was given so that we could see into a realm. You don't have to have visions. You don't have to go to heaven. The Bible's given you all the information you need so that by faith you can look in and see it. I'll close what I've told this many times over years, but I will never forget it. Dr. Burchett, we were there. We had several people come from different places, and sometimes in classes they would grumble about their churches they came from. And some of them were part of organizations that were not, they were what we call parachurch organization, Campus Crusade for Christ, several other things. And several of them, I don't even go to a church, you know. I'm by Campus Crusade and all that. Nothing wrong with those. Those were good things. And Dr. Burchett heard that and said, well, you know, it's a good thing Lord put you here to listen to a man like me. He said, nobody, God doesn't do anything apart from his church. He works through his church, and he loves his church. And he said, when you run around the corner and you want to shake your fist at the church, you just remember when you run around that corner, you're standing right there at God's gun barrel. He will not tolerate you criticizing his church. Now, does that mean you can't criticize or nothing like that? But if it's done with the right manner that you want to encourage and want to help, yeah. But he loves his church. You know why I've been pastor all these years? Because I want to love what Christ loves, the church. And I love this church. The Lord moves me on one day, I love another church. When I left my first church, I was so grieved. And I remember talking to some pastors, say, I just hope the Lord will send them a good pastor. And they looked at me like, what are you talking about? You move on, fella. What's the big deal? You go to something bigger. And I remember saying, well, you didn't sit under Dr. Chad. I still think about those people. And I hope the Lord sent them someone, and he did, to help shepherd them and care about, because they're his family, they're his people. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight, and we thank you that Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father in a position of honor and a position of authority to make us presentable to you, to make us acceptable to you, and also to nourish and cherish his church. Help us, Lord, not just look at life through our physical eyes, but help us to look at life through the Bible and see something that we cannot see physically, but we can see what the Bible says. Christ loves his church, and he makes us acceptable. And Lord, I pray for all of us. Help us to love our church too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.